Another round of footy on the weekend. Some really big results there. Only two of the home teams won from last weekend, and one of those home teams was the Sharkies down there at Cronulla. I went down to this game, 31-26 over the Storm, and they were outstanding, the Sharks. I think Adam Fanua-Blake, if the Sharks win a premiership, that's going to be their turning point in their history, is the day they signed Adam Fanua-Blake, because he's the leader that they've needed since Paul Gallen, and he was outstanding down there against the Storm. Who stood out for you on the weekend? What games did you enjoy watching?
Yeah, I love the Bulldogs and Roosters on Friday night. I just like the way it sort of just confirmed to me again, you know, where the Bulldogs are at. They got behind, they fought, they got behind again, and they just kept fighting, and they're showing all the characteristics of a team that's going to be there right there at the end, whether that is a grand final or at least a preliminary final game. But I just love the way that their leaders stood up, and I love the way they just fought their way back with their defence. They just created pressure and they fought their way back with defence. And the Roosters, they're still going to make a run towards the back end of the year, but really impressed with the Dogs on the weekend.
Yeah, mine was at the Knights versus Parramatta. My old team, Knights, like, they're struggling at the moment, and there's a lot of talk and a lot of noise that's going around about the team and also the coach. And I just feel like that, yeah, there's got to be some sort of change or transition soon, because we know about O'Brien. Like, if he does move on, Knights got to pay him $2 million. We see that Ponga, you know, he's not scoring tries. The team's just very, you know, they're just playing mediocre at the moment. And, you know, back in the day when you're playing at Newcastle, it was always hard to play at that place. But it just seems like it's an easy 2 points at the moment playing at Newcastle.
Yeah, crazy to say. Now, this competition at the moment, it's around this time, origin period, that there's always some clear teams that, you know, you can lock them into the top four at the end of the year, or they're the premiership favourites in there as you go. I don't know if you can say that about this competition at the moment. There's no one really that stands out for me, and there's no one really that you can discount, besides maybe the Knights and the Titans, who are really struggling at the bottom end.
Yeah.
But the competition's so even at the moment.
It certainly is, Dean. And as you mentioned in previous years, you were looking at the Melbourne Storm and Penrith at this point of the year, and it was like, which one are going to win out of these two? As you mentioned, it's so inconsistent and chopping and changing. The only real consistent I see are the Bulldogs. I know that we had some question marks around, you know, later on in the year how they'll go, but defensively, they turn up every week. They turn up with the same intensity with their attack, with everything that they do. They complete their sets, all of the small things. So I'll lock the Dogs in for a top four. Probably going to stop them now, but I think every week you know what you're going to get from the Dogs. With the rest of the competition, I think that there's some teams that, you know, you look at them on paper and you go, they're going to be very dangerous if you're going to play them in the back end of the year. But at the moment, I think the Dogs are a standout, and I think they're a lock for a top four.
There's only 6 points that separates last and fifth.
Yep.
You look at Penrith, they had the record amount of losses that they've had for a long time. They're only 2 points outside of the eight at the moment. And yep, some teams that people are writing off at the moment and saying that their season's struggling, like the Broncos, they're in ninth spot. So yeah. What do you put that down to? Is the competition so even this year, or have we got a lot of teams in this comp that just haven't hit their peaks yet?
I feel like the competition's even. I think our game is getting better, but I feel like the game is very systematic. Like, when you think about the players, you know, their big focus is post-contact metres, you know, running metres, and then also, you know, runs as well. But our shape and how we play today's game is very systematic. It's not eyes up football anymore. You know, it's getting to points, it's playing to a shape and getting around the edges. And, you know, for me, the safest job at the moment in an NRL club is a defensive coach. The amount of tries you get scored on the edges, it just seems that, is it the players are getting better, or is it the system, or is it the coaches that are performing?
It's a funny one when you think of the origin teams. Yeah. They're usually picked on form and who's at the top of the competition. But the Bulldogs, the Raiders, the Warriors, the Sharks didn't get anyone selected. Most of these teams had one player selected in the origin teams out of the top five. Like,
yeah.
What do you put that down to?
It's unheard of. I put that down to the coaching. And I think that you look at it, you look at the teams, like the Bulldogs are a good team. You look at them individually on paper, you start to try and pick it apart. Then you watch the game and it's just they work for each other. They do all the small things. They're defensively minded, and that's why they're winning games. I think the rules you've got to look at, Dan, I know we sort of look at the ladder and we go, can this team, look at the rule. You've got to finish top four. You've got to be in the top four defensive teams to win a competition. If you're not in one of them two, it's too hard at the back of the end of the year, because if you finish 5-8, you've got to play these better teams on the road for 4 weeks straight and try and beat, you know, the Storm, the Bulldogs, these teams. It just becomes too hard, and we've seen it over the last 10, 15 years. That's the formula you need to look at. And if you look at this Origin period and the teams that are currently in the top 4 and 5, if they're not affected and they keep winning games, they're going to give themselves the best chance at the end of the year. Having said that, there are teams that are sitting 9th, 11th, 13th, that roster-wise, you don't want to play them later on in the year if you are one of them top teams as well.
They go out and they buy superstars now for 10-year contracts.
Yeah.
Everyone believes that you buy a superstar that it wins your premierships. I look at those teams, the Bulldogs, the Warriors, the Raiders, the Sharks, that are right up there now. There's no real superstars in those teams. You know, we've had Munster dominate the competition, Jerome Hughes, yeah, over the years and win premierships. You know, you go to Penrith, Cleary and Eluai and Edwards and those guys,
yep,
win premierships off the back of their superstars. Is this going to be the year that we see teams that have got no superstars in it dominate the premiership?
It could possibly be, Dino, but what I see is that with the NRL season, it's a roller coaster ride. Like, at the start, you start hard and you start fast, and then you get to the Origin period, and then some teams will start tapering off a little bit and become a little bit average and plateau, but then they'll rise again before the final. So this is an important period for a lot of teams, and you know, I think you're right. Like, it could be the teams that are less talented, but I've got a really good system in place.
Mate, I look in the last few years and the Roosters, the Broncos, Penrith, the Storm, they've propelled themselves to the finals out of the back of the Origin series.
Yeah.
These players in these top teams at the moment aren't going to have that Origin experience. Does that hurt you or does it help you come to finals?
I think it depends on how the Origin period goes. We've seen in previous years some individuals not play well at Origin level and it's affected their back end of the season, whereas other players, maybe being a little bit out of form, have a big Origin series and then come back and the game just seems to slow down and they just seem to take over. It's a bit like the NBA. They have the All-Star weekend and then post that, it's like time to switch on. You see the good teams really separate themselves from the average teams. And then again, these teams on the bottom have to try and avoid the wooden spoon as well.
Nice. Now, speaking of Origin, the women's Origin, New South Wales 26-6 against Queensland last week. Wrapped up the series for the first time. New South Wales have won that one. A real dominance by the Blues. I thought across the field, they looked outstanding. And you start to worry about, we do this every time New South Wales wins anything in any sort of series, but you start to worry about the future of this Queensland team. They've got to have a few nervous people up there about where they go and how they can get back at the Blues.
It was very uncharacteristic, both games. You know, we're used to seeing a lot more fight. You looked at the class of both teams, you could just tell that, you know, after about 30 or 40 minutes of each game, that New South Wales really just took over. I think individually you looked at, you know, player for player, New South Wales just well outclassed them. I thought they were outcoached as well. It's going to be interesting to see what happens with Game 3 again. There's been these two dominant games. If it's dominant again in Game 3, I think there needs to be an overhaul in Queensland.
Now, in the past, Queensland, through their superstars, Ali Brigginshaw and Tamika Upton, have been able to overcome anything. But the forwards were that dominant for the Blues. They were virtually non-existent, Tamika and Ali, in that second game.
Yeah, you're right. Like, it was unusual to see Tamika at the back. You know, miss some defensive tackles in that second line. But this could be an opportunity for New South Wales to start a legacy. You know, this team is so strong, and then you look at the depth as well. Like, there's so many good players that's not even playing in that team, and I just feel like that New South Wales can win a few more series with this team. But when it comes to the Queensland team, you know, the depth of their side, the depth of their juniors, I feel like they will need a review, you know, by the end of this third one. But also look into the future and go, you know, what do we need to change? Hands of pathways and also, you know, with coaches.
Yeah, they lack players to bring into the squad. You know, you look at form players in their team, they actually didn't have many options on who they could bring. With New South Wales, there's a list of players that you can bring in. One of the players that really did stand out was Olivia Koenig, playing that lock role, and she did play on the edge a little bit as well. And we talk about Isaiah Yeo and Jake Trbojevic in the men's game, how they play that role. I feel she plays that role better than they do.
Yeah.
And the whole game, in both those first two games, the game's changed when she got more involved with the ball playing at lock. She started on the edge and she's hitting holes and running great lines out there.
Yeah.
And then next minute she gets in there and she ball plays and runs through the middle and goes right through the middle of the Queensland team. I don't think there's a better player in the game.
Yeah, she's the total package. And as you said, she's got the ball skills, but I love her aggression. Everything she does it with tempo, and she seems so relaxed. She never seems like she's under-fatigued or really struggling. And she really dinted the line of Queensland. At key moments, when they were starting to fatigue, she would just break the game open. I think she had a big point to prove as well. But again, that total forward pack, you know, Samima Taifa was fantastic throughout the series as well. But Liv Koenig, she really stood up, and yeah, she's been the best player of the series so far.
How good's Origin, and how exciting is it to see in the Blues there last year winning the title down up there in Queensland. Now, this Origin team that have been announced, the Blues team, I look through it, it's a powerful team there that Laurie Daly's named for the first game this year. Mitch Moses and Nathan Cleary, exciting about that, seeing those two in there in the halves. I like the bench, Spencer Lenu, Connor Watson, Hudson Young, a debutant there in Max King, though, coming in on the bench there.
Yeah.
What do you make of Ciampa?
Oh, he deserves his spot. He's been fantastic for the Dogs all year, and like you said, Dan, I really love their forward pack. I really do. Like, you look at it, they're all aggressive. They're all people that will, you know, enforce themselves through their defence. I think New South Wales have the stronger team on paper, if I'm just being completely honest with you. And I really like their, you know, their outside backs. They've all been there, done it before. The big thing that I like is that, you know, last year, that Suncorp Game 3, you know, we hadn't won a lot, you know, leading into that up at Suncorp in Game 3. So picking and sticking with a similar sort of team that have gone there and done it before, because this game is vital for Queensland. If Queensland lose game one, I can't see them winning the series. So New South Wales selecting that team, really good halves. Again, our outside backs are all superstars. Again, team's better on paper, but it doesn't mean much when you go to Suncorp.
Yes, and Queensland, you know, they're stuck with a lot of their old faithful players there. Kalen Ponga at fullback, even though he's been in a team that hasn't been performing and he's not in his best form. Munster and Cherry Evans get another chance to defy Father Time, I suppose you could say, and produce another great Origin for Queensland up there. And they're going with the forward pack. A lot of players selected from the Queensland teams there, the Titans, the Broncos and the Cowboys in that forward pack that aren't really set the world on fire in NRL at the moment too. This Queensland side though, they got a bit of a theme to the way they pick their side. A lot of speed out wide.
Yeah, there is. There's a lot of speed around the team. And this is where I see both teams is that New South Wales is a power team. If you look at New South Wales from the back line into the four pack and even coming off the bench, it's all about power. When you look at the Queensland team, it's all about speed. And I think that's what Billy Slater's trying to do. He's trying to counteract this power game that New South Wales had kind of come in with some speed. And, you know, playing up in Suncorp, if it's a dry track, you know, you've got some really fast followers. And what I can see is that there's going to be a lot of probably passing back into the inside, testing the middles out, like your Payne Husses, like your Mitch Barnett. And I feel like the speed in kick chases as well, I feel like that Queensland will kick early and get down to the corners and apply pressure, because if you look at Latrell Mitchell and Stephen Crichton, if you look at their stats, they're not really good in getting back and doing those play twos and play three runs, whereas Toho and Zach Lomax and Edwards do that kind of work. But you want your back five to actually, in these days, you want the back five actually doing a lot of the workload, because the game's so fast and there's so much competition. You don't want your middles to be doing a lot of workload. So when I see Ruben Cotter on the edge, I just see speed, him getting the ball early, him targeting, you know, either Mitch Moses or Nathan Cleary, depending on what edge he's on, getting quick play to balls, and they play fast off that. They've got Ponga, you know, you give him early ball and you isolate him with a back rower, he knows how to get around. That's the biggest thing, is that with Billy Slater's team, I can just see speed.
I tell you what would be scary for Billy Slater is watching Latrell Mitchell over the last couple of weeks. He's sort of warmed his game right into Origin form, and he's going there full of confidence, full of arrogance, full of, I can do anything in the world. They've picked young Robert Toia after 10 games for the Roosters in first grade to match up against him. Now, you two guys are centres.
Yeah.
I couldn't think of anything more scary than Mark and Latrell Mitchell in Origin 1.
Especially after just 10 NRL games. The thing that is in his favour is that he's in Queensland, but you've seen Latrell last night. You've seen Latrell on the weekend. He had that steely eye back again. He had that focus. He knew it was coming around to Origin time, and they're just different players around this sort of environment. Toia, I think, is really good attacking-wise. I just feel he's going to maybe get caught out defensively. It's going to be interesting to see whether he's going to partner Holmes or Coates on that edge, but that's going to be somewhere that New South Wales will definitely target. Look, Origin's are one in the middle of the field. If you win that middle part of the ruck, you've got superstars on both teams that like to play on the front foot. One concern I do have with Queensland, if I'm being completely honest, I think a lot of players are out of form. I think a lot of them aren't at their best. And a big question mark into this series is, are a couple of them towards the back end of their career as well? We see their halves. Ponga's not playing great football. But having said that, this is what Queensland love. They love this mentality of we're the underdogs, we can't win, and then they show up and they perform at their best. But, you know, if all things being equal, I'm very confident that New South Wales team.
If you're Toya and you're a young debutant, you're going up Latrell Mitchell, what are some of the things that you want to focus in on your training during the week? Because he's playing alongside players there next to him that he's never played football with before.
Yeah, for me, if I'm Toya, with Latrell, you can't check and release on Trell. He's too big, he's too fast, he's got a skill set like a, you know, he's got a kicking game, he's got a passing game. You got to commit 100% on Trell. So for me, if I'm Toya, I'm getting a lot more wider on my defence. I'm not staying tight on my half. I'm getting a little bit wider and I'm making sure that my half and my back rower are actually like coming. As soon as they check, they got to come hard and they got to cover me, because if I'm Toya, I'm just focusing on one player and that's just shutting Trell down. Whatever happens on the outside of me, I need someone from the back like a Ponga, or if it's a Munster, I need him covering my back if it goes to Lomax. So if I'm Toya, I'm not sitting down. I'm rushing Trell and I'm trying to put him under pressure, because you give Trell too much ball and too much room, he can kick, he can pass, he can palm, he can run over you. You can't give him. Once the ball's in the air, you have to make a commitment.
I think the inside guys play a big part on that too. I know we look at just that one-on-one matchup, but you know, if DCE or Munster or even one of them back rowers are getting caught, you know, with them lead runners, it's isolating too much space for Latrell. If they're able to release and work really hard from the inside, firstly win that ruck, it makes Toya's job a lot easier. You give Latrell a little bit of room, get his chance to get that big fend up, you're in a lot of trouble. So we know we look at that one-on-one position, but again, the people around you can make so much difference as well.
I look at the benches and they played a big part last year. I thought Connor Watson and Spencer Lenu last year were two X factors that New South Wales had. Queensland, Bo Firma could be a real X factor for them. But I feel that that's where New South Wales has got an advantage if you look in the bench. And I look forward to seeing Spencer Lenu come on again, because he was in outstanding form on the weekend. He's got that steel about him there, coming off the back fence. And Connor Watson, his clubmate at the Roosters, paying off the back there. Some real X factor in the New South Wales team.
Yeah, it is. It is, for a change, when there's going to be a change and you need some injection in the game, Connor Watson and Spencer Lenu are the ones. But Tom Dearden and, you know, Lindsay Collins, I think that's where Billy's is done the match-up there, is trying to get Collins on Spencer, try and match up with him, try and out-muscle him. Like, Lindsay Collins has got really good leg speed. He does really good kick chases. He can compete. I think it was either last year or the year before, he ran through and caught a contested with a fullback, you know, on a bomb. You know, he's going to go out there and test Spencer as well.
The worst thing for me, boys, is I'm that confident, it makes me nervous. Because if we know one thing, Queenslanders underdogs, game one up in Brisbane, a series where they've been written off, that's when they're most dangerous.
Hello everyone, my name is Malachi. Ginigaina Jawan Naya Malachi Ga. My mob is the Gambengia and Gimilaroi people. I play for Tweed Seagulls. Under sixes, I played for Coss Harbour Comets. I just remember wearing this bright orange headgear because my grandparents, they said it was a way for me to stick out to scouts, even though I was playing under sixes. I'm here now, so I like to think it worked. Having rugby league players in the family, it just really made me want to strive to get to the level they were at. Greg Inglis, Bevan French. Greg Inglis is from Maxwell, that's where my family is from. That's my mum's last name, related that way. My knockout team is Nambucca Rams. Played about four or five now. Played Kempsey Sharks, Nambucca Rams and Tinga Tigers. First knockout, playing for Kempsey Sharks. First hit up, I think I got my head taken off, so that was a good introduction to the knockout. Standard, very standard. The knockout player I want to see in the NRL, AJ Davis.
What about AJ Davis's kick right on the button?
Listen to all those old uncles, you know, that tell you the yarns. Oh, I could have been this, I could have been that, because that might be you one day and you don't want that to happen. You just stay on the straight and narrow and you'll get there. My coach is David Penner. He played Parramatta Eels. Dave's a straight shooter. He has a bit of a laugh, but he will kick up the arse if you're not doing the right thing. The team this year, there's a lot of new faces, so I'm quite excited to see where we'll go. The last couple of years we fell short, but I think the team we have this year can take it the whole way. My ultimate goal in footy is obviously to make NRL, but, you know, just to make a change, do my family proud, do myself proud.
The Donovans, eh, from North Coast, they always produce superstars. I remember Matty Donovan, Timmy Donovan, some of the best country football players you'll ever see. And young Malachi looks like he's headed for a good career up there, so wish him all the best. Now, boys, this weekend, a short round of the NRL, only five games. Some real highlight games, though. I think there's going to be some real blockbusters. Usually this is the time of the year when you go on holidays or you go and watch something else for the weekend, but there's going to be some great games on the weekend. Bulldogs-Dolphins are going to be massive. The Bulldogs, only one player in the Origin series. Sharks, with no players in Origin, up against the Roosters. They're looking forward to seeing the battle there between the fullbacks. Tedesco versus William Kennedy. Now, they're both in probably some of the better performed players in this season, both high up in the Daly M's. How do you see this matchup going? Because if Dylan Edwards goes down in Origin over the three games, these two are probably two of the likely candidates to replace him. And I think they both do a fantastic job. Tedesco up against Will, Sharks up against Roosters. What are you making of it, Champo?
Yeah, it's going to be great. As you mentioned, it's a great weekend of football because, you know, the teams aren't depleted because of Origin. So it's fantastic. Will Kennedy's been in fantastic form, second on the Daly M leaderboard. Tedesco, he's been doing it for a number of years now. As you mentioned, if you do get, you know, anything that does happen to Edwards, one of these two players is going to have to step in, but both in great form. It's, as I said, it's going to be a great matchup, and I'm looking forward to it.
Sharks need to build a bit of a role during this Origin period with the advantage of having no players in there. Is this their chance to prove to themselves that they've got what it takes come the end of the year? Because they haven't performed end of the year over the last few years, and this is a make or break time for the Sharks.
Yeah, Dino, I think with the amount of talent that's in the team, people expect, you know, the Sharks to be a top four team. But for me, Nico and Tricky, I think they've been inconsistent of, you know, playing well together. One week you'll see Nico, you know, kill it, and then Tricky making a few mistakes, or Tricky having a really good game and then Nico, you know, making a few mistakes. What they need to practice, I feel like, this in this period, the Origin period, is how consistent they can be playing well together. Because if they both play well, like, this team can go to another level.
The other game I'm looking forward to watching is the Wars versus the Raiders. And then another two teams that have hardly been affected by Origin. The Raiders are my favourite team to watch. Yeah. And I think it's got a lot to do with their coach, Ricky Stewart. I just love seeing how animated he is down there. But the passion that Ricky has for the Raiders jersey, you can see that live through his players every week. The Warriors are another team that's very exciting at the moment. These are two really good football teams, coached really well. They play with a lot of excitement going up against each other. What are you looking forward to this one?
Like you said, I like the way both teams, their style of play. You know, they're not scared to throw the ball around. They've got individuals who can break the game open. The Warriors have gone under the radar. You know, they're sitting currently second on the ladder and no one's really talking about them. But the way they're doing it, they're all doing things together. They're doing things as a unit. They're competing really hard on everything. But I'm excited, as I said. I love watching the Raiders play. It's going to be an absolute cracker. It's over there in New Zealand. So it's going to be a test for the Raiders as well. Usually they have the last couple of weeks down there, big crowds, a bit easier. Travelling over to New Zealand, they'll have a packed house like they always do, the Waz. And, yeah, it's a great weekend of footy, Dino.
The young half Luke Metcalf, he's the top of the Daly M's at the moment. Yep. He's had a stellar season, but he's going up against Jamal Fogarty, who's one of our favourite players in the competition. And Jamal continues to push his claims for Origin. And you know, Queensland will try the Cherry Evans Munster, you know, selection that they've stuck with over the years. But if they don't win in game one, they're ripe for Jamal. And I know Jamal will be looking to put his best foot forward this weekend up against the Warriors.
Yeah, he will. And Ricky loves these types of games where his back's against the walls. Like, they're going over to New Zealand, you know, they're going to be in front of a big crowd. As you mentioned, Bo, Warriors are coming second. So there's a lot to play for. And, you know, Jamal's playing really good, consistent football. I love his kicking game. But the big thing for the Warriors is when Fanua Blake left the Warriors to go to Cronulla, you know, they got Fisher Harris in. And I feel like his leadership has helped the Warriors.